1,000 years ago, superstition and the sword ruled. It was a time of darkness. It was a world of fear. It was the age of gargoyles. Stone by day, warriors by night. We were betrayed by the humans we had sworn to protect, frozen in...
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Unlimited podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Yo.
And our good buddy, Eric.
What's up?
How's everybody doing?
Good. I'm glad that we were able to get the use the intro for the television show they based on Mom as the intro for this episode.
Gargoyles?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you figure it said 1,000 years ago. That's when she was born.
Good one.
Wait. Mom?
Yeah, my mom, not your mom. Your mom's a lovely woman.
Thank you.
Is it the list of champions or no?
Oh. We're doing the list of...
We are gathered here, the boys, to discuss a UFC champion tier list. We're going to be ranking the greatest UFC champions of all time and the not-so-great ones as well. So it's going to be a fun time. I can't wait to get into it. Before we do, let's go to Eric with the plugs.
Eric?
This is Boxman and Smart with the Rashid Dudes every Wednesday night at 10:15 Eastern Time on Mr.com/TheRashidDudes. And listen to them on every Saturday night at 9:30 Eastern Time on Mr.com/Hollywood-.
Hollywood Hangout. Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
All right, take over for the rest.
And then listen to us 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday night, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. This upcoming Friday night, we're going to be talking WrestleMania 23. Then, of course, March 25th will be WrestleMania 3, and April 1st will be WrestleMania 8, and then we'll figure out the rest after. Of course, listen to this show, Unscripted Unlimited, Saturday nights, usually between 5 and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, or usually just when we say, hey, we want to go on the air. So, of course, tonight, UFC champions. Next week, I believe it is my turn, and I will make a decision, probably, at some point.
I can suggest one, but I won't be on.
Yeah, you won't be on, so you're good. Then, of course, tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Time for the Scaredy Cats with Daniel and the Turncoat. That would be Mindy.
With me and my sister Mindy, we will be doing the movie Hellfest. We're going to be talking about the movie Hellfest. It's based on a horror theme park when stuff goes wrong. Also, for a little bonus content at the end, we're going to be coming up with our own horror theme park and the stuff we would put into it and how we would do it. So it's going to be a fun episode. Can't wait for it. Make sure to check us out. Do we have anything else, Dutchie?
Sean with Elite Diplodoc on YouTube.
Yes, make sure to check my buddy Sean out. Good guy.
Yeah. And also, we'll give him a plug, our buddy Bob Hazelwood with the Bowling Alley. I forgot what day he said he was going to do it, but I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
And if you want to see more of our posts and more of our content and so people can come and actually vote on the polls, make sure to check out the Old School Wrestling Group on Facebook.
Yeah. If you make fun of the admins, you will be banned.
All right, let's get
it. And start joining the chat, too.
Yeah. We want to, give back to the people. We'd like to do, like, raffles and some other stuff and have some fun, maybe do some giveaways and stuff. Keep joining, keep voting on the polls, and, your voice will be heard.
And then, again, like Eric said, you can join us on here on Blog Talk for the chats every time we do a show. You've got to have a Blog Talk account. It doesn't cost anything. So if you're cheap, you're good. So do that, and then I think we're good. I know we got to hurry this up so I can meet Clint in the steam room.
All right. UFC champion tier list. A couple years ago, we did a UFC tier list. It's about time we do another one, but today we're just focused on the greatest and not-so-great champions of all time.
Exactly.
The only criteria for this is that you have had to have held a UFC championship, even interim, right?
Yep. We'll do interim.
Okay. We won't count the BMF title. Sorry, Jorge. But it's not technically a real belt, even though The Rock gave it to you.
It should be a real belt.
Should be a real belt, but it's not. And if it really should have, then he should have lost it to Colby. So.
Yeah.
But let's get into it, boys. And let's get into it with a really strong name. Someone that you'll know and you'll be able to put a little content in for us here, Doug. Brock Lesnar.
So I hear a lot of this stuff about Mr. Lesnar and how good of a UFC fighter he was. And I've seen, like, clips of, like, some of his fights because he is a badass.
Yes.
When he's in WWE, he's a lazy ass. But in UFC, he was a badass. He won the UFC title with diverticulitis. You know, and then he got the revenge on Frank Mir, you know, because in his first fight, because he went into that first fight, he was so overconfident, which is what he is because he's full of himself and also full of shit. He just, like, he's so overconfident, and Frank Mir was able to catch him and won. But then, you know, when he won the UFC title and then Frank Mir was the interim champion, you know, he beat Frank Mir's ass. So, and then, you know, he, even after, what, about a 4-5 year layoff, he went back into the UFC again, and he beat that Mark Hunt.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, are we just talking about, like, their fights for the title, Eric, since this is your idea?
Their
overall career?
Overall, as a champion.
Okay.
Their title defenses, how many
okay.
independent, and...
Because, I mean, because technically that win, even though it's technically a no contest now because he was on the juice against Mark Hunt, doesn't count. But he won the title for Randy Couture. After, I mean, he came in, lost to Frank Mir, beat Heath Harry, and then, you know, he beat one of the greatest heavyweights of all time and won the title. He would go on to have two defenses against Frank Mir, which he got his win back. And then he beat Shane Carwin, who at the time was undefeated and an absolute badass.
Oh, yeah.
Shane Carwin was a tough son of a bitch.
Yep.
So, and Brock beat the hell out of both those guys. And he proved himself against Frank Mir, who's more of a technical fighter.
Yep.
Not really a big – and he did a big beast guy like Shane Carwin, too, and he also beat up an old veteran, Randy Couture. So that string of three fights where he held the title, it does mean a lot.
Yep.
He did get his ass kicked by Cain Velasquez.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Yeah.
And injuries to Kane, we'll get to them later, but for Brock, health issues made him have to not fight anymore in the UFC and all the other stuff.
Now, for what he was able to do.
As a champion.
And those string of guys that he beat. Then, of course, he would go on to lose to Kane, and then he would take another loss to Alistair Overeem, which, with the diverticulitis and a body kick, you know,
yeah. What
would he expect? But for what he was able to do a champion, I would put him at very good.
Yes.
I don't think he's elite, but I think he was very – for a guy that came in and only – like, he was an amateur wrestler. When you talk about the credentials in the background, too,
yeah.
He was a N-triple, right? NCAA champion and an All-American. So Brock Lesnar is very good.
Very good. I agree with that. He's not quite there yet. If he didn't have those health issues and didn't take those.
Yeah. Or maybe a couple more title defenses,
yeah.
You know. But I think that's all that'll get.
Yeah, because he wanted to come back and wrestle DC and be the UFC champion. But because he got, you know, he got popped for failing the drug test, Dana White was just like, yeah, you're retired. And
that would have been a great fight, too.
It would have been, but again, Dana White is also one of those guys, he doesn't want to deal with it. If you get popped, like, if you get popped, then you're just like, all right, look, you know, Dana's just one of those, I'm washing my hands of you, you're done. Like, they even asked him in an interview. They said, well, when's Brock coming back? He goes, he's not. He's retired.
Yeah.
And he and they're like, well, does he know that? And he's like, he'll figure it out. Because, you know, once Dana White quits taking your phone calls, you pretty much know.
You're done.
Yeah.
Now, for the heavyweight division, that belt really is a hot potato. So having two defenses for him is actually pretty good.
Yes.
Because that belt does get flopped around a lot. If your name's not Stipe, it's hard to defend that title.
Yeah.
So for what he was, so I think that's why he deserves to be very good.
I agree. There's more. There's two more I can think of that are probably more above him.
Yes. And three if we're counting outside of the UFC, because I think Fedor is above him. But so obviously our tiers, elite, very good, middle of the road, meh, and trash. Now let's go. We already did heavyweight. Let's go to
light heavyweight.
Light heavyweight. Let's do light heavyweight, and let's start with Lyoto Machida. And I'm going to start with you.
He's an interesting one because he only defended it, twice?
Once. He had one defense against Shogun Rua.
And he beat, who did he beat?
So the title?
Yeah. Did he beat Rampage?
No.
But that time period, the title was flopped.
He beat Shogun twice.
Okay. I would say, middle of the road, because he didn't defend it. He only defended it once. And it was a subpar title reign, but overall, the fighter, he's great. But
he was champion, great, yeah.
He wasn't. He was so-so.
He was a great UFC. He's more known for his run to the title.
Yeah.
Than when he got the title. Because those wins over, like, Rashad Evans and Tito Ortiz, and those were big wins, but they happened before he got to the belt. And then he got to the belt, and he got his ass kicked by, I mean, Rampage Jackson, it was a split decision, but still. And,
I think people remember him more of a non-champion than champion.
He actually beat Rashad Evans for the title, so I apologize. And then he lost to Shogun Rua in the main event. Or in the rematch, because he would defend it against Shogun, beat him, and then lose, obviously. Wasn't it Joe Rogan that said it's the Lyoto Machida era, welcome to the era, and then he said, like, recently that he regrets saying that?
Yeah.
He's like, I fucked that one up.
Yeah. So that's why it's nothing against the guy. As a champion, we're only rating them as a champion, not an overall fighter.
Yeah.
So, middle of the road for me.
I'll agree with that because I have no idea who the hell this guy is.
Jesus Christ.
All right. What's his name?
Machida.
Lyoto Machida.
Lyoto?
Yes. L-Y-O-T-O. Jesus Christ. Doug. All right. Next, let's go to the middleweight championship.
Oh, we'll just go down.
That's usually how our show qualities go for
episode. Oh, bullshit. We're going to talk about a young man who you are familiar with, Doug, since you shit the bed on Machida. Let's talk about Michael Bisping.
Ooh.
I like Michael Bisping, and I've seen a couple of his championship fights. I think he's entertaining. As a fighter, I think he's awesome. I mean, as a champion, I heard he was pretty good.
He defended once or twice?
Once. It took him forever to get to the belt.
Yeah.
He never got a title shot. He finally got one. He had lost to Luke Rockhold in the past. This time, he knocked him the fuck out.
Oh, I remember that.
And then he came back and he avenged another loss against Dan Henderson. Because you remember that crazy KO Dan Henderson hit him on back in the day?
Yep.
And fucking his mouth guard fell out and shit. So Mike Bisping came back, beat Dan Henderson. So he only had one defense, and then that's when St. Pierre came back and beat him.
Yeah. So I'm not going to give him any – I think middle of the road, too, because it did take him – he did beat a good fighter. Yeah, I'm going to say middle of the road.
I'll say middle of the road, too, just because, again, only one defense, and it took you for – it kind of bugs me, though, sometimes wherein, like, guys – you know, they scratch and claw, and they finally get there, but they can't stay up on the top of the mountain very long.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, these are older, and they fight somebody that's better. He fought a legend.
Yeah, and he was getting old and ready to hang it up anyway. Yeah.
Know? He just wanted to put down his resume.
Yeah. But, yeah, I guess we can put him in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
I'd like to go very good, but sorry, Bisping. We'll put him in
as a fighter, as an overall fighter.
As an overall fighter, he is very good.
Good, yeah.
But unfortunately, since we're just ranking championship runs.
Yeah. He's middle of the road.
Now we'll go. Yeah, we'll go down to welterweight.
That's QGSP, since we just talked about him.
Elite.
That's not even a question there.
Yeah,
absolutely
no,
elite.
Definitely elite.
Two-time champion. He got knocked out by Shara, but that was a fluke knockout, I think, in my opinion. And then he regained the title a couple months later, or a year later.
The man lost to Matt Serra, which is his only loss in his career, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
If I'm wrong, you can fact check me in the comments. Came back, beat Matt Hughes, which Matt Hughes is no joke. Beat Matt Hughes for the interim title. And then got kind of promoted to the main title because he ended up beating Matt Serra in the rematch, right?
Yeah.
I believe he did. And then 9 title defenses.
Yeah.
Which, and along Jake Shields is no joke. BJ Penn.
No joke.
You know BJ Penn.
Yep.
One of the greatest. Nick Diaz, Johnny Hendricks,
no joke, yeah.
Carlos Condit. You know, he's elite. He's probably the greatest of all time.
Yeah, a lot of people have him as the GOAT. There's an argument between him, Anderson Silva, John Jones, Khabib. As I said, Khabib. We'll get to him later.
Yeah.
They'll
probably put Usman up there now.
And Usman.
But, yeah, George St. Pierre is elite. He's the fucking man.
Yeah, he's on the Mount Rushmore.
For sure.
No, I agree, elite.
All right, elite him.
I already wrote those.
All right, next up, let's go over to lightweight. And let's talk about a lightweight legend.
Lightweight, the tie I am is a drinker.
But this one is kind of hard because he was also a featherweight champion. You know who
yeah.
I'm talking about.
Conor.
Conor McGregor. The notorious one, a lot of people, you know, said he was pound for a long time. Probably not anymore.
No.
But as a champion, it's hard to defute what he did. You know, he won the featherweight championship from Chad Mendez for the interim title. Then he came back and knocked Jose Aldo out in a few seconds. And he was just the fucking man. I mean, he beat Jose Aldo. And then he went to welterweight. And I guess that technically counts those matches with Nate Diaz because he was a champion for them. They weren't for the title, but he held the titles.
Yeah.
He lost once to Nate Diaz, then he came back and beat him.
Yeah.
And then he went to lightweight and beat Eddie Alvarez for the title.
Yeah, because he was more known as the featherweight, but he beat Jose Aldo.
Yeah. But then he became the lightweight, beat Eddie Alvarez.
And I'm going to defend him, but beat in...
I don't think he ever defended a belt. They both got vacated from him.
Yeah.
And then he left. He came.
Which is strange because he never defended it, but he's considered one of the best.
Well, no offense to Dana, but he's probably the most privileged fighter of all time. He could just do whatever the fuck he wanted,
that.
Pretty much.
He's title fighter.
Whatever he wanted to do, he could do what he wants. So he would go all over weight classes, but he did hold 2 titles. He came back, he beat Donald Cerrone, and then, you know, it's kind of gone downhill ever since.
I'm going to get shit on for this. I'm a Conor fan. But I'm going to say meh, because he never defended it. He never defended it. I'm not knocking him as a fighter overall. As a champion, he never defended it.
He never defended it, but I think double champ puts him at middle of the road at least.
It does. Because
only 3 people hold that distinction.
Because here's the funny thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, if you kind of rate it as, like, you kind of compare it to, like, pro wrestling, which a lot of people do. You look at Sasha Banks. She's won the whatever women's title like 4, 5, 6, 7 times, right?
Yeah.
Or 4 or 5 times or whatever. When she was a 3-time or 4-time or whatever time women's champion, or Raw women's champion, she defended the title a total of 3 times because she always lost in her first defense.
Yeah.
Johnny Gargano was the same way with the North American title for a while.
And Nakamura.
And they're so, you know, there was so much, but they're highly regarded as the best to ever do it, right?
Yeah.
You know, especially like, you know, the best to ever do it, in which Conor probably is also regarded as one of the best fighters out there. As a champion, he might not be that good, but he still won the damn thing.
Yeah, he won both.
Okay. He's a double champion. So even though he never necessarily defended the title, it's still, he won them.
Yeah.
So he was good enough to win them. And sometimes being good enough to win them is more important than being good enough to defend them.
True.
And to his point, he never actually defended them. So we don't know if he could or couldn't.
Yeah.
He never got the opportunity. He never lost a belt. That's one thing you can't say against him. He never lost. I mean, he never defended it, but he never lost it. He got vacated.
That's true.
So
I'll go middle of the road.
Yeah, I think he deserves at least middle of the road. Now, since there's not many featherweights anyway, let's go right to bantamweight, since Connor was both.
Wait, featherweight, Jose Aldo.
Yeah, we'll get to him, but...
Since
we're going down, you know.
Just,
I know what I'm doing, all right?
Sorry.
No, you're good, bud. Let's go to the greatest bantamweight of all time.
Last time he doubts you instead of doubting me.
It's always about doubt. Yeah. All right, let's go to the greatest bantamweight of all time. The man, the myth,
the
legend.
TJ Dillashaw.
Dominick Cruz.
I knew you were going to say that. That's why I said Dillashaw.
Dominick Cruz is better. We're talking about the first bantamweight champion of all time.
Elite.
Literally,
elite.
He's elite. He came out over from WEC. He was the bantamweight champion there. He beat ass there. He comes into the UFC. He beats his lifelong rival, Uriah Faber. He beats Demetrius Johnson, who's probably, you know, one of the greatest flyweights of all time. He tried to move up. He lost to Dominick Cruz. Then Dominick gets hurt. TJ Dillashaw ends up, your boy with the belt. Dom comes back, beats him.
Yeah, controversial.
I don't think it's very controversial. It was a split decision, but, you know, Dominick won the fight. That's the way the judges scored it, so that's the way it went. Held the title for a combined 1,465 days. Defended against Uriah Faber again and beat him. And then got his ass kicked by Cody Garbrandt, but we don't talk about that.
How long did he hold the title for combined?
1,465 days.
Didn't Cody kind of diminish this, but I'm still putting him in the lead.
I mean, everybody takes a loss at some point.
Yeah.
And that was a hard puzzle to solve. For a long time, no one could figure out that puzzle. That was Dominick Cruz.
So yeah. About 4 years combined, he held that championship.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the fucking man. The first time was over 1,000 days.
And if he never got those injuries, he would probably have been longer champion.
Yeah.
He would be up there with Anderson Silva and GSP.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll put him in the lead.
And now he's back and he's kicking ass again. He just beat up Pedro Munhoz.
Yeah.
So it was fight of the night.
He had one
fight of the night on a prelim.
Exactly. Dominick Cruz is elite.
And by the way, like winning fight of the night as a prelim, that doesn't diminish what, you know, the fight, because that card, that was 269, right?
Yeah.
That was...
That's when I came over for.
No, you weren't here for that, I don't think. Because I actually stayed awake for it, and I haven't been awake for any of the cards you've been over here for.
That's saying something.
Yeah, you tire me out. Because that was Pena and Nunez and...
oh, yeah, that's the one. Okay.
And Poirier and Oliveira, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that 269, he's a prelim, he wins fight of the night, and a card that's absolutely fucking stacked.
Yes.
And had huge fight after huge fight, and Dana White gave out fight bonuses to a lot of people.
Yep.
But Dominick Cruz won fight of the night at the prelim. That just goes to show you that even though the bar was set for as high as it was,
yeah,
because that card was one of the best, that a prelim can still outshine, you know, even, you know, some of the best cards, as long as the prelim is that good, which it was.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, so he's elite. Now let's go to flyweight. We don't have a lot to pick from here because one man kind of ruled the fucking division for forever.
Five years?
Long time. But let's go with someone that we know now, Brandon Moreno. A good kid, just lost his title, but pretty badass kid.
Controversial, too. Wasn't that a controversial fight?
Yeah, it was controversial. They fought three times now. It was a bit controversial when he lost.
I was hitting the lap dance, I think, during that fight, so I don't remember.
You have to go back and watch it.
Yeah. Plymouth and I were busy.
Jesus. This is a weird narrative you're pushing. But Brandon Moreno, I mean, he's an absolute sweetheart. I love the kid.
Yeah.
I think he's awesome. For what he was able to do with the title, I'd say he's mediocre.
Yeah, I would say mediocre for now.
But I think he's going to end up very good at some point.
Yeah, he'll get it back.
Yeah, he'll get another shot for sure. I like the kid a lot, so. But
I'll agree with that.
Let's go to the women.
Let's go to the women's side. And let's start at...
mediocre Brandon Moreno?
Yeah. As sad as it is. So bad putting any of these. Listen, we're just fans. We're chubby guys. I know these guys are legitimate athletes.
You're not
and we have
chubby.
No way. Yeah, you're not that chubby. But still, this is just our opinion.
Not rating them as a fighter.
Yeah. I'm going to get my ass kicked by any one of these guys, even the women. So I'm not saying anything, but it's just our opinion as fans.
Yeah. So we're not, you know, just our opinion as fans. Fans are, unfortunately, they're allowed to have opinions. We're just a couple of schmucks that, you know, grow out our facial hair. So, we can roll them out like a red. We can roll it out like a red carpet.
Yeah, we love this stuff, so it's fun talking.
Yeah.
Let's go into women's featherweight.
Let's start with the GOAT.
Okay, Chris Cyborg.
I wasn't talking about that.
Yeah,
GOAT,
no, you weren't talking about that GOAT. But I think the other one's kind of a GOAT at the other division. So, let's go with Chris Cyborg first.
She only defended it one time. Lost to.
No, she defended it twice.
Twice.
She beat Tanya Evinger when Jermaine Durandamy was stripped of the title. And then she beat Holly Holm, beat Yana Kudazasakia, and then she got her ass kicked by Amanda Nunes. But Chris Cyborg is one of the greatest featherweights, women featherweights of all time.
Oh, yeah.
She was able to do in Strikeforce, right? Or was it Bellator?
Was it Bellator?
I think it was Strikeforce.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was Strikeforce. She was a badass in Strikeforce. Then she finally got she did Invicta FC for a while, and then she got to the UFC, and now she's killing it in Bellator and is their champion still, and has had three defenses so far.
So I would say very good.
But for what she was able to do in the UFC, would you still say very good? After, I mean, two defenses ain't nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah, because she beat Holly Holm, who beat Ronda Rousey.
That's true. Yeah, put her very good.
She beat the man. She beat the woman that beat the woman. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And a lot of people, like, here's the funny thing about some of these champions. And again, it's another, like, wrestling comparison. You're looking at a lot of one-hit wonders here.
Okay. Yeah.
But, and a lot of people, you know, they talk shit about the one-hit wonders. There's a lot of songs out there that were one-hit wonders that I would put on a playlist.
Yeah.
But like our friend JR says, Alicia had a hit.
Exactly. Because you had a hit. So who cares if you're only a one-hit wonder? If you're, especially for musicians, if your song is still being played on the radio to this day, you're still going to get royalties for it.
Yep.
All right, because it's being played out there over a national audience. I'm sure, like with, in Chris Cyborg's case, I don't know if they would necessarily consider her a one-hit wonder, but like for a lot of the fighters' case, like because you know UFC has their toy line.
Yeah.
So if you're become a figure, which I'm sure UFC is more picky about who they put out as their figures in WWE because WWE puts out figures for just about everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Except for the Brooklyn Brawler and Barry Horowitz. But like,
yeah.
If you get some kind of merchandise out there, you're still a hit.
Yeah.
And your merchandise will still sell. If it still sells, you're still getting paid for it.
Yep. For a long time with Ronda.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's the thing about one-hit wonders is that, again, like JR had said, they had a hit.
Yeah.
And they're still remembered for it. So even though people say, oh, my God, they weren't any good, they were just one-hit wonders, you had a hit.
Yeah.
That's all that really matters.
So while we're on that, where are we going to put Holly Holm?
Because she had a big hit. She had the kick.
She beat the woman.
She
beat woman for
the
woman
that was the... That
face
was considered a GOAT at some point. At
yeah,
one point.
She ruled the
She was the face of the women's division for
And then she
like
kicked that face in the head.
Yeah, she was the face of the division for a decade.
Well, yeah, from 2013 to 2015.
Oh, it seemed longer. It seemed longer. I don't know why it seemed longer.
Or 2012, so about 3 to 4 years,
yeah,
but still.
I was just going
to
check.
It was the division was really the early days. And Ronda did rule the rules.
Definition of decade now.
But Holly Holm had to kick her around the world. I think that at least gives her a very good.
It does, because, again, she had the biggest hit.
Yeah.
Because, again, you go back and you listen to, again, I'll equate it again to songs on the radio. If you go back and, because you know the 80s station I listen to. Listen to in the car, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, with you every day, so yeah.
All right. So, you know, one of the songs on there that they get, it gets played at least 2 or 3 times, you know, I'm sure it gets played many times a day. I happen to hear it 2 or 3 times a week. I would be allowed to hear it more if you didn't make me turn the radio down. Tommy Two Tone and the song Jenny. That is actually considered to be one of the greatest one-hit wonders of all time because they made a lot of money off it. Now, it was controversial because people called the goddamn phone number that was in the title, which, by the way, is 867-5309. But it's still – it's considered to be one of the greatest one-hit wonders of all time, just like Holly Holm probably should be – because nobody saw that coming.
Nope.
Damn well, no, Ronda didn't see it coming.
No. Ronda hasn't been the same since. She took her little... I better watch what I say. No, Ronda.
She took a break, tried to get herself, you know, refreshed and all that. Came back, and Amanda Nunes beat the shit out of her.
And then she walked away and cried. And
well, she walked off to the sunset, and she went somewhere to where she was going to get paid a lot of money, which there's nothing wrong with going somewhere where you're going to get paid a lot of money. All right.
Yeah.
So anybody that thinks that there is either really rich themselves or
right.
has rich parents or is just a complete idiot. But, and so like, there's nothing wrong, you know, with what Ronda did. At least I don't think so.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what Ronda did. I just don't.
Yeah. Well, you just don't like her.
Yeah.
Can't blame her. She's ass.
But,
different story for a different day.
But, yeah, no, with Holly Holm, I do think she belongs in very good because of the impact that the hit made.
I would say elite because she beat Ronda.
No.
No?
I'd go very good because she wasn't able to do anything after that. It was a great hit, but.
She got submitted by
Misha.
Misha.
Now, Chris Cyborg, we put her in very good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because where I wrote
her. Well, we're on Misha. You want to rank Misha?
Yeah. Doug can go first.
Here's the funny thing, and I don't know, like, if she still has it or not to go for a title. I know anybody that didn't watch Celebrity Big Brother, which Big Brother super fans, if you didn't watch Celebrity Big Brother, you're not really super fans. You're just smucks.
Hey.
No, that was directed at you.
I know. I know that.
That's why he said, hey.
but she's going to go down a weight class. She dieted in the Big Brother house.
How far did she go?
In Big Brother?
Mm.
She won the damn thing.
Oh, shit. I better watch now.
See, if you were a true super fan, you would have known this shit.
I had other priority.
Yeah.
I was watching sports.
Oh, yeah, you were watching the sports that were still on. anyway, so before I insult you anymore, the thing about Misha is now, you know, she was a bantamweight champion. Now, she only defended the belt once, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she lost to,
I mean, if this was a Strikeforce tier list, she's elite.
Oh, yeah.
She ruled the roost and Strikeforce had about 4 defenses and beat a lot of ass.
She lost to Rosa, right? No.
Or Rousey.
Rousey.
She's lost to Rousey twice.
No, Misha lost the belt to Rosemende. No.
She lost the belt to Nunez, didn't she?
No, the UFC belt. She lost the Strikeforce belt to Ronda Rousey. Then they fought again at the UFC, but Rousey already had the title, and she beat Misha. But the UFC title, yeah, she lost to Nunez.
Yeah,
she beat. That's when it was kind of a hot potato. It went from Rousey to Holly. Misha submitted Holly, and then Amanda Nunes beat Misha. And the rest is history.
Well, it's probably going to be another hot potato because, well, unless Nunes gets the belt back and then gets focused on her next fight. But as far as like a champion goes, I mean Misha, not necessarily because again it's one defense. And I guess you could say, well, she beat the woman that beat the woman.
Yeah.
But she lost
to
the woman.
The woman.
She couldn't beat the other woman.
She lost to Man and Ronda.
Yeah, two of probably the greatest female fighters. Well, depending on who you ask.
And there's a girl, there's another one, I can't pronounce her name, but...
Yeah, we're going to get into her, too. But let's put Misha Tate at very
we're
good.
We're going to get into her. You might want to rephrase that.
Put Misha Tate at very good.
Right.
Svenko, yes, she lost at bantamweight when she went up against
Amanda.
She did lose to Amanda. Twice, right? I think twice.
What she was able to do
when she went down to flyweight is fucking crazy. She's had 6 defenses so far. She's held it for, so far, 1,189 days.
Yep.
So far. It'll be 1,190 tomorrow.
That's the title that Misha's going to go for, right?
Yeah, I think she's dropping the flyweight.
Ooh, that's going to be something.
Now, Misha, again, in Big Brother, which Eric's not a true super fan or he would have watched it. In Big Brother... Misha did say that there's already a fight waiting for her. Now, obviously, that's not Shevchenko yet, because...
No.
She can't just get the title. She has to fight somebody else first.
Right, because UFC actually, you know, goes by a ranking system, and, you know, they're not fixed.
For the most part, they do. Some fighters, they give titles right away, as we talked about earlier, Mr. Conor.
Yeah.
Well, because he's a draw.
Yeah, he's a huge draw. It's a little different when you can put asses in seats. But Shvenko's elite.
Yeah.
Good luck trying to spell that on the list, Doug. All right.
What nationality is she?
She's from Kyrgyzstan.
Yeah.
I can't even spell that. Because I was just going to put some, you know, the...
Her sister's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Shevchenko's elite?
Yes.
She has a sister, too. Not champion yet, but he might be one day.
All right, now we're going to strawweight. Let's talk about my girl, Zhang Weili.
This is interesting. Because she beat...
It's hard because she's very good, right?
Yeah.
But she beat Jessica Andrade, who's awesome.
Yeah.
She beat Jessica Andrade. Then she had probably the greatest fight I've ever seen in my life against Joanna. No, not Rose. I mean, this last one was really good, but Joanna and her fucking...
Joanna, yeah.
Yeah, they beat the shit out... That's still, like, if anyone wants to get in the UFC, I'm like, that's the first fight you gotta watch. Those two women, they went to fucking war, dude.
Oh, yeah.
And it was crazy.
They beasted each other up hard. Yoeda's probably going to be high up when we get to her, too. But that was a great fight. She came on the winning side of that fight. And then she got her head kicked into the ground by Rose.
Oh, yeah.
Just like kind of what happened to Rousey. And then she came back, and it was a much closer fight, but Rose won again.
Yeah.
So her legacy gets a little tampered by the fights with Rose, but Rose is like, she's going to be going in elite. So.
Oh, yeah.
Rose is almost goaded. So I think Zay Wali deserves to be very good.
Yeah, very good.
I think for what she was able to do.
And I mean, I've seen a couple of her fights before, so
she's
and
a badass.
She beat Joanne. So.
Yeah, and that was a great fight, and she got that showed that she could take adversity too, because she got the hell kick too.
Yeah. People don't realize there's a lot of good women fighters.
Yeah,
that've been champion but lost because they for a good 2 to 3 years their women's division was all about Ronda, but ever since she left. It's been wide open.
Yeah.
Even though Amanda had to go shipping more first.
The thing that kind of bugs me, though, about this is, like, you look at the last two big pay-per-views. They're probably even going back to 270. Probably even going back to last three. There hasn't really been a women's fight on the main card.
Yeah. They're probably just plotting.
Last week there was.
Yeah.
There was?
Yeah.
Oh, not on the main card.
No, it was on the
it should have been on the main card. It was a good damn play.
But we got a lot of young fighters coming up. Macy Barber, Cheyenne Bai, or Vlismas. So
yeah.
We're going to get a lot more of those. And, you know, all these girls are going to be ready to defend against Shvenko. It's been a while since their last defense.
Yeah.
When the Ultimate Fighter's over, we're going to get the Pena and Nunes rematch. Misha's coming up soon, so we're getting those fights.
And you guys hadn't defended the other belt in a while either.
Yeah, the featherweight title.
So, like, and I don't know if there's going to be a... I know there's going to be a women's fight. Like, women's fights are scheduled to happen on April the 9th, but I don't know if they're going to make the... Because I don't think they've actually listed, like, what's all going to be on that April 9th card yet. Well, they've announced what's going to be on there. They just haven't said what's going to make it the prelim, what's going to make it the
main card. Yeah.
They need to bring in Angela Lee.
Oh, yeah.
From ONE. I can't wait to see her fight on the 26th in a couple weeks. She's defended her Antiweight title, but I'd love them to bring her in for a dream fight with Rose.
That would be amazing.
Two good grapplers.
So the funny thing about Angela Lee is the fact that, like, you know, she takes her baby wherever she goes. She doesn't interview, and you got the baby just basically hanging off her. But Angela Lee, she doesn't sell it. She doesn't sell the fact that, you know, the kid basically trying to eat an early supper. Like, and she'll just go on, and she'll act as if, like, it'll confuse the fuck out of the interviewers. Like, they won't know what to do, because their questions are being interrupted by a crying baby. But, like, she'll no-sell it, as, like, she's used to it.
Yeah, it's very adorable.
She's not fazed by it.
No. She's awesome. I don't know if you've seen her fights, but she's crazy. She's really good. Let's go back to flyweight and hit that goat. Demetrius Johnson, Mighty Mouse, who's also in ONE and is also fighting on that card on the 26th.
Elite.
He is elite. 11 title defenses.
Yeah.
Only a few losses on his career. ONE to Dominic Cruz and another to Henry Cejudo, who are two of the greatest of all time.
Yeah. And he's had, what, the second most defense after Silva or Jones?
I think Silva. But, yeah, 11 title defenses, held it for 2,142 days, held the title from 2012 to 2017 or 2018.
He was considered to go.
He went to ONE and won their Grand Prix. He just lost last year, but he won their Grand Prix and won their title.
Yeah.
So he's a badass.
He was considered for a while a pound-for-pound best in the UFC.
He was going through so many people. Dana was considered an axe in the division because he was running out of fights.
Yeah, that's why. That's why he had to fight TJ.
Yeah, they were running out of names for him because he was beating the shit out of everybody. So yeah, he's elite, Demetrius Johnson.
And it's funny too, like running through a division, and I really think Usman is going to run into this problem.
Almost has.
Because, like, you're looking at it as, okay, I've beaten the number one contender, then I've beaten the number two contender, three, five. Like, when you run through that top 10, top 15.
And you fought Kobe and Moray twice.
Yeah. So it's just going to be like, okay, now what the fuck do we do? Or do we sit him? Do we move him to a different weight class? Because do we move him to a different weight class and have him go there? Because when you've run through everybody, I mean, yeah, you can get up-and-coming fighters coming up, but it's going to be a long time before these up-and-comers get to the... Because you also have to think, Dana's got to think, okay, what's going to make me money?
Yeah.
You can't do, like, a third fight with Colby. I mean, you probably could because Colby is that good.
Yeah, you probably could, but you have to wait a while.
Get him one more win, and then, yeah.
Yeah.
Let Colby beat somebody else, and absolutely.
He already called out Dustin, so we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. That'll be fun. But, yeah. So let's jump back to heavyweight, and let's talk about Mr. DC, Daniel Cormier.
I can't really jump. My legs are bad.
Who, heavyweight champion, light heavyweight champion, probably the greatest, one of the greatest of all time. He's a double champ. He had one heavyweight defense against Derek Lewis. No, he knocked Stipe out for the title.
Oh, yeah, he didn't remember defending.
He lost in the rematch to Stipe. But he defended it against Derek Lewis first and beat him.
Derek Lewis is no slouch.
He was knocking people out in Strikeforce, and, you know, he beat a lot of people there. He was kicking ass. His lightweight run, or not lightweight, his light heavyweight run, his only kryptonite was John Jones. He beat Alexander Gustafsson. He beat Anthony Rumble Johnson. He beat Ozenmeyer. He was just an absolute, you know, beast. And he's probably the nicest guy in the room, but he's still a beast.
Yeah.
And for even what he did in Strikeforce, you know, he's also he's beaten Frank Mir. He's beaten Roy Nelson. And this is before the belt, but he's beaten Dan Henderson. He beat Antonio Bigfoot Silva in Strikeforce. He beat Josh Barnett. Like, this dude is just crazy.
Yeah. I would say elite.
He's got three losses on his career. Yeah, three losses on his career.
Two of them were to Stipe, one to Jones, right?
Yes.
But the one Jones fight doesn't count because it's ruled a no contest.
Yes. Well, technically four losses. Two to Stipe, two to Jones. But the one doesn't count against Jones.
All right, so Daniel Cormier is going to go in elite?
I would elite him, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, he's won, and you know you knew he was a big money fight. Because that's what Brock Lesnar wanted.
Yep.
All right, and Brock doesn't really give a damn about fights that are not big money fights.
Absolutely.
Because, and again, like, you know, even going back to his WWE run, I mean, sometimes he'll make this suggestion and be like, hey, can I work with a smaller guy? Because I feel like having a good match.
Yep.
And when he feels like having a good match, I don't know if it's because Sable gave him a blowjob from the right angle the night before or what. But, like, when he feels like having a good match, obviously he'll go to the smaller guy. But he'd much rather have the bigger name, the bigger guy, you know, which is why, you know, he keeps chasing Roman down like, you know, Rose chased down Charlie in 2.5 Men. But that just kind of shows like what kind of a big name Daniel Cormier was.
It still is.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, he could if he wanted to, he could probably get back in the octagon and kick somebody's ass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But he's just as successful as a commentator, so why would he?
He's a great commentator.
Funny as hell.
Yeah. And he's a social influencer now. He's killing it. He's had a great post career.
I love him. And like, I have nothing against Joe Rogan. As a matter of fact, like, Joe Rogan, Dana White, and I can actually all be passed off as triplets. If I actually shaved everything, I'd look exactly like that. But I've got nothing against Joe Rogan, but I do think that Daniel Cormier and Michael Bisping are two of the best color guys in UFC.
Yeah.
So when they commentate the fights, those are must-see, which is actually why, like, I think sometimes fight nights are better than pay-per-views.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, I usually miss all the fight nights because I'm usually, you know, upstairs sawing wood.
There's actually one tonight.
We'll see.
No, what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, you're pointing it out to the viewers can turn it on.
All right. Anderson Silva.
I mean, that's not even a question.
10 championship defenses.
Oh, wow. He's behind?
Yes. He's behind Mighty Mouse. Beat Rich Franklin twice. Beat Damian Maya, one of the greatest jiu-jitsu guys of all time. Beat Vitor Belfort. Beat Dan Henderson. Beat my boy, Chael Sonnen, twice.
Twice.
Even though he got his ass kicked the first time, he got lucky, but still. Anderson Silva is elite.
Oh, yeah, that's not even a question.
And he's still killing it in boxing now. He knocked out Chavez Jr.
Oh, wow.
A really good boxer. And he knocked out Tito Ortiz, which is good riddance. So he held the title for 2,457 days.
Which equates to about 6 years.
Anderson Silva's the fucking man.
Oh, yeah. He's considered the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest of all time. And absolutely elite. All right. We're going to finish out with a couple of names here. Let's go to BJ Penn.
Elite.
That's your boy. Say
my
a couple
boy.
Words
I'm,
about
I'm
him.
Going to be biased and say elite.
So we'll say a couple words about him.
You biased? Wouldn't think of it.
Well, thanks, though.
No problem.
He won. He was a two-weight champion. Not double champion, but won a championship in two different weight classes.
Yes.
Is he successful in both? Or one? Lightweight, he was more successful.
Yeah, welterweight. He beat Matt Hughes, but he got stripped of the title, so when he left.
Yeah.
Similar
to, like, Conor, but.
Yeah.
I'll say elite because he did not defend it twice.
Well, three times at light heavyweight.
Not
light heavyweight, at lightweight. So he was the man. He's had dream fights. He had the dream fight with St. Pierre.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, his later career kind of fell off the tracks.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that should have retired when people told him to, just like the Undertaker.
But there was nothing like BJ Penn licking the blood off the glove, you know. He's a badass. If you want to put him in elite, we can. Put him in elite, Doug.
Already done.
All right. Let's go to one more lady, and let's do the GOAT, like you wanted to earlier, Amanda Nunes.
Absolutely elite.
Even after this loss?
Yeah.
Juliana Pena.
She's going to get the belt back.
Because, I'm not trying to make an excuse, but this sounds probably sounds like an excuse. She had COVID before she fought.
Yeah.
Well, she was supposed to have a fight in August, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't
That's
that?
When she got COVID.
All right.
She got COVID in November.
No, it was August.
August.
Because she was supposed to be part of that card that was the interim title fight.
Okay, yeah.
With Lewis, and you were open.
Yeah. I fell asleep during that. But the funny thing, like, yeah, she had COVID. So she got COVID in August. The fight was in December. It does not take you 4 months to get over COVID. I mean, some people, yes, they feel, and again, you know, the medical officials don't come after me or whatever, although somebody that works in healthcare actually came after both you and I yesterday in the old school group. And Daniel booted his ass. But, like, you know, COVID, that would have been an excuse if they would have moved the fight to, like, September, maybe October. It was December. She got caught off guard. Everybody wrote off Julianna Pena.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right, this isn't going to happen. Dana had to put Nunez on pay-per-view because everybody wanted it.
We made a lot of money off that.
All right.
Yeah.
Pena was the number one, or was whatever ranked challenger, number one contender, whatever the fuck it may be. So it had to happen. Nobody figured it was going to work. I thought the title was going to change hands. I thought Poirier was going to beat Oliveira.
Yeah.
All right.
Did.
But, again, she took Nunez down by surprise. Took her off her game. And Nunez just looked just out of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe I'm tired of being the GOAT. I've held this fucking title for, what, 4 or 5 years now?
And she has another title.
All right. I got another belt. I got a wife and daughter that, you know, we're assuming she likes them. We'll know how much she really likes her wife if there is a prenup involved. Her head probably just wasn't in it.
Yeah.
And she's probably thinking, she's like, all right, she's beat me. I can more than likely get the title back if there's a rematch. So, you know, live to fight another day.
Let the kid have her moment, and I'll take
the
back.
Let this young lady have her moment. I'm going to beat the shit out of her next time I get in the ring, and next time I get in the cage with her.
She was very unprepared and clearly off her game, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, that's what my long-winded explanation is trying to get to.
But for what she did up to that point, she's definitely elite.
Yeah.
She knocked out Chris Cyborg and Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Cyborg and Rousey.
The best.
I mean, she tapped out Misha.
Yeah. She's an absolute
Three of the best right there.
Three of the best. She's beat Shevchenko. Four of the best. So the best of the best women, she's beat them. She's definitely elite. You want to do one more?
She's the Usman of women.
Right, and she was running out of people to beat. So now with Pena being champion, now, again, she's going to be a bigger underdog in the rematch since she wasn't this, even though she's going to be the champion.
Yeah,
because everybody's going to be like, all right, Nunez, she's going to be prepared. She's going to beat the fucking shit out of you. Like, you're a one-hit wonder.
I might put $5 on that.
But, you know, Pena is another one-hit wonder. We'll see, though, like, maybe, because now it's got to be in her head. Now, I'm not saying she's listening to this show, but it's got to be in her head. It's not, okay, there's a bunch of assholes that are thinking, I don't have a fucking shot to beat this woman again. They're saying, she was off her game, that, you know, she wasn't at her best. They're demeaning my title win. So now, you know, when this fight happens, I got to go into it as, okay, you motherfuckers.
I'm going to break her arm.
Okay, you masturbating monkeys. I'm going to beat this bitch. I'm going to prove you all wrong. You're all going to kiss my ass.
She's probably going to make her tap out.
But that's the mentality that Julianna Pena has to have. Be like, okay, you 72 virgins, you know, you're all going to doubt me. You know, you can all go fuck yourselves, or your pillowcases or your bed sheets or whatever you masturbate on. And, you know, I'm going to kick her ass. I'm trying to illustrate a point here.
All right, let's see.
End with,
what do you want to end with?
Mr. John Jones.
Okay. We're going to do two more after that.
Okay.
John Jones, elite.
Yeah.
He's elite when his ass isn't in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, the Tom Brady of the UFC, though. But not like he very troubled. But when we're talking about his career and we talk about his championship run,
he's the GOAT. I mean, he's beat all the big names.
Yeah, he went through division two.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, and Jim Ross used to say this all the time as a comparison piece. You know, Michael Irvin, when he played for Dallas, you know, he had his share of struggles, right?
Yeah.
And Jim Ross used to say about, like, wrestlers that had struggles, he'd be like, oh, he's like Michael Irvin. You know, if you keep him out of jail, he can play. If you keep John Jones out of jail or away from women, you know, he can, you know, he's one of the best UFC fighters out there.
Yeah. Need to go.
I mean, if you put him in front of a hooker that he doesn't feel like paying, then, you know, then all bets are off and he does something fucking stupid.
Yeah, but an overall, like, 13 combined title defenses. He's beat beat Shogun Rua, Lyoto Machida, Rampage Jackson, Rashad Evans, Vitor Belfort, Chael Sonnen, Alexander Gustafsson twice, DC twice, Glover Teixeira, Anthony Johnson. He's the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
All the, like, best names you can think of, he's ran through.
Yeah.
So John Jones has to be elite.
He's biggest name in UFC, but not named Conor.
Now, one more we'll do because I want to put somebody in trash. Let's do Aljamain Sterling, the current bantamweight champion, the paper champion.
Yeah.
He won his title by DQ, and he's kind of been ducking the rematch ever since.
Who would he be rematching?
Peter Yan.
He's likely going
to
be.
Well, isn't that going to be – that's supposed to be
– next.
That's the next fight, yeah. But he's
on April 7th,
it's
right?
Supposed to happen for like a year now, though.
That's the co-main with Volkanovski and the Zombie.
Yes.
Yes. That's in April.
April 9th.
The week after WrestleMania.
Yeah. Aljamain Sterling is the feller's name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trash him.
For now, trash. But if somehow, we never say never, because Amanda Nunes lost.
Yeah.
You never know. Because you never know in the UFC. If somehow beats Jan again.
But he won by the legal need, damn it. And he won the Super Bowl.
If he knocks him out or something or beats him fair and square this time, then we'll move him up some.
I find it, like, it is funny to me how, like, you know, the last two UFC pay-per-views were all 3 weeks in between each other, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is on April the 9th. March 5th was the last one. So, like, it's 4 weeks from today. Because you figure WrestleMania is 3 weeks from tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 4 weeks from tonight. So we got to wait, you know, we would have had to wait 5 fucking weeks in total for a UFC pay-per-view. That's like somebody, you know, basically being told, like, you have to wait 12 hours till you take your next dose of NyQuil. Preferably somebody that, you know, uses the drug for, you know, not necessarily for a cold, but for reasons why people think I'm using it, and I get ID'd every goddamn time. but it's just like it's funny to me. It's like the last two pay-per-views, you know, 3 weeks in between. So, like, you know, it's gonna creep up on you. Now it's not necessarily gonna creep up on you because you gotta wait 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, 4 weeks from now. But it's just like, but that builds the anticipation.
Yeah.
I mean, Peter Yan's been waiting. How long? A year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been waiting a year for this.
He just won an interim title, yeah.
They had to give him an interim title.
He won the interim title on the one pay-per-view we didn't watch, right?
Yeah, he beat Sandhagen.
So.
Soundly.
He just, you know, so he's been waiting a year for this. I mean, we'll see if Sterling doesn't, you know, back out because there's still time.
Yeah.
And I think that's the issue, though, too, is the fact that, you know, they're giving this asshole time to back out.
Yeah.
I mean, if I would have... like, if I were UFC, like, if I were kind of matchmaking, if you have somebody that's been ducking a guy for a year and keeps putting it off and putting it off, you don't give him time to back out. You basically say, okay, all right, we're going to do this on, even though technically, you know, Colby and Masvidal did not need a title fight because they were the main fight. They were the main event. If I were Dana, I would have just said, all right, fuck it. You know, you two are going on 272. Is it 272 or 273? 272, right?
That's me. This was 72-3. That's me, 73.
I think last week was 72 because 269 was in December. Then it's 70.
Yeah.
So if I were Dana, I would have just been like, all right, we got to get this out of the way before this fucker, you know, this fucker's balls, you know, go back. His balls turn into a vagina.
All right, Doug, run through the list and then let's take it home.
I knew after that last joke you were going to say, all right, we got to go. All right, Elite, we have George St. Pierre, Dominic Cruz, Shevchenko, Demetrius Johnson, Daniel Cormier, Anderson Silva, BJ Penn, Amanda Nunez, John Jones. Very good. We have Brock Lesnar, Chris Cyborg, Holly Holm, Misha Tate, and Zhang Weili. Mediocre, we have Lyoto Machida, Michael Bisping, Conor McGregor, Brandon Moreno. Meh, we have nobody. And in garbage, we have Ajamon Sterling.
Watch him win, too.
He'll back out of the fight before it even happens.
We will do a part two. This was a great amount of fun, gentlemen. And we will see everybody next time. Do you know what you want to do next week, Doug?
You can't do it, right?
Nope, I'm working.
Okay, next week we're going to do, you know, a couple weeks ago we did Beverly Hills Cop, the movie franchise.
Yeah.
All right. Next time around, we're going to, next week, we're going to talk about all the, and I don't even need to watch them because I know them like the back of my fucking hand.
Oh.
We're going to talk all the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies.
Oh.
From the originals to the one they did in 2007.
Do you want to just do Legacy, then? The Legacy of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Talk about cartoons and shit, too? Fuck it. Make it a big
We're
going to
do the Legacy of the Ninja Turtles next week.
There you go.
Legacy.
Talk about the video DMT. Games, toys.
Video games, toys. Hopefully I'll make a lot of money off Genghis Frog. So we'll do that next week.
All right. This was a blast, guys. Eric, we will see everybody next week. Goodbye.
Bye.